Today, as you just heard, we're starting to look at what's called one of the post-exilic prophets, Haggai. He's after the exile. He's back. And he has a word from the Lord. The Lord. You're all comfy. You know, you're building your houses. You're doing fine. What about my church? Aren't you going to build that where I dwell? Now, Haggai, of course, means the temple, which finally was built by Herod. And it wasn't quite finished when it was totally destroyed, never to be rebuilt again. 2 millennia later, there's a Muslim edifice there too, but no temple. So what was the Lord after here? I think it's a call to us to learn from the Holy Spirit how to care about the whole church, about the whole broken body of Christ. You're comfy, you're doing fine. What about my body? Do you see it alive, flourishing, full of love, energy, goodwill, humor, humanity, care for the poor, standing up against the things that are wrong in the various governments around the world to protect the innocent and the poor? Build my church. It is, I know, in our culture particularly, but just about everyone, we're very individualistic. The church, we look on as sort of an organization, you know, and make sure we get a good pastor, make sure, you know, the parking lot is plowed, and, you know. But, no, this is the body of Christ. And how many times in the last week, this is an interior census you can take, did you really pray for the church? Isn't this the Holy Spirit's big preoccupation? To build the body of Christ? It is the physical presence of Christ on earth. It is the bulwark of truth. Oh, I mean, do you know how Satan hates the church? Plotting with all that brains, day and night against the church. Get this one to fall. Get this one to make a mistake. Get this government to persecute. See, and the Lord says, well, you got your houses and you got paneled rooms and, you know, you got new carpet and, you know, what about my church? What about my house? And they're saying, well, it's not quite time yet. You know, we've got to set our plans and... And he says, well, okay, take a look. You sow a lot, you don't reap much. You got your money in a bag and it's got a hole in it. I mean, is your own life prospering? You make $2 million a year. That's nice. Are you happy? Are you afraid to die? Where's your peace? This is a beautiful call. Why would we read about the prophet Haggai and the word of the Lord to build a temple when that way of worship, you see, has been caught up into the very act of loving which Christ died? That's our worship. I think it's a call to really say, what about my brothers and sisters in Sudan? They're suffering. Women can't go out to gather sticks to make a fire, to make some food for their family, without the risk of being raped and killed in all the villages. What about that? What about all the people professing my name who need your support because they're in jail? In a little while, they're going to be in a great spot, and then they'll pray for you. You know, do we think of the church? Do we know what it means to like to belong to the church, to be part of the body of Christ? There are things you can do. You know, there are these magazines which cover the church, you know, go over the church here, the church there, you know, read them, be alert. You know, in your reading, is there anything that helps you stay alert about the church? And deeper than all of that, which is a big help, do you carry the church in your heart? Do you pray? The Lord has left the world in our care. And what have we done? First thing we did was have a fight. Little fights for a long time, and then 1081, I think it is, East and West split. They're still split. 1,000 years later, the Christians are so anxious to keep their own whatever ideas, they haven't gotten back together. 1,000 years of split in the church. We had a strong prophecy back in 1977 when we had an ecumenical meeting. Everybody involved in the charismatic renewal, we had 70,000 people. We were in the football stadium there in Kansas. And there was a prophecy: weep and mourn over the broken body of my son. What about that? Isn't it a scandal? Right here. We got this, and we got across the street. I mean, people are trying. They're not the ones who caused the division. They just inherited it. But so long as everything's going well, I don't have to investigate my prejudices. I don't have to say, why are they across the street? Why are they here? What have we done to offend them? What is their doctrine like? Can't we show them the beauty of the Katholikon, the whole fullness of truth? We didn't invent it. We can be proud of it. We didn't figure it out. It's a gift to us. I promise you this, if the Church of God were one, this world would be at peace. That's for sure. And so, this prophet Haggai, you know, the Lord sent him to say, look, you're all worrying about your own income tax or whatever, but there's no place to come and worship. You're all self-centered. Well, what about us now? See, it's a call. Now, what happens in this call? People get it. And they rouse themselves. And they had good leaders. Nehemiah, Ezra, the people we've talked about. And they really did start to build the temple. It's a gift to care about the church. Ultimately linked deep in the depth of our spirit with an understanding and love for Mary. Mary and the church are like two sides of the same mystery. If you love Mary, you'll love the church. You cannot have real devotion to Mary. You can multiply novenas, but not care about the church. But you cannot love Mary and not love the church. We should pray today for that kind of insight that will move us to understand this prophecy of Haggai, to care, to pray, to preach. The salvation of the world depends on the fervor and holiness and unity of the church.